I'm Halston Sarwat. I'll be interviewing Abby Sarwat, my mother.
Hi, Halston.
Okay. What are you proud of, though?
My family. It was really important to me as a little girl to have a big, loving family. And Daddy and I have created that.
Nice. Who has been the most important person in your life?
Daddy.
Can you tell me about him?
So I think it's important when you find a life partner that you not only find somebody that you are attracted to, but also somebody who's your best friend. And although I have best friends and I'm close with my sisters, the person that I most want to share things with is Dad.
Nice. Where do you see yourself in the future?
Oh, in the short future, like 5 years, I see myself as a confident, successful, caring, compassionate nurse. And in the long term, I've always envisioned myself like on a porch with Dad by my side and all you kids and all of our grandkids. That's always been a vision for me. There's rocking chairs involved in that too.
What are your hopes for what the future holds for me?
I love that you are confident and kind. You don't really listen to what the haters have to say. I don't know if you even have haters, but if you do, you've never let on. So I've always been proud about that for you. I hope that continues because I think you have a natural curiosity about life and an interest in learning and wanting to be good to people and share your heart. And that's what I hope for you.
Do you have any regrets in life?
Sure.
Care to divulge in some of them?
So I think tied to that, I think I spent way too much of my life trying to please other people and trying to be who they wanted me to be, rather than recognizing my own gifts. And you don't have that, which that's part of what I love about you, is that you recognize your gifts and you share those freely and you don't get bogged down by what you think you should be. You are who you are.
If my grandchildren were to hear this years from now, is there any wisdom you'd want to pass on to them?
Be kind to each other.
Not like me and Henry. Kidding.
I know you say that not like you and Henry, but the truth is I've spent a lot of time with a lot of families, and even though like the four of you tend to like rag each other from time to time, the truth of the matter is that there's more giggles than fights, and if any of you really needed each other, I think the rest of you would be there.
When in life have you felt most alone?
Oh, probably. So Daddy and I met when we were 18, and we had that first year of school together. And then he went home for the summer, and my parents were going through a divorce. And so that was probably the loneliest time because my sisters lived out of state. My parents weren't getting along, so I didn't feel like I could go there. My friends had all left the city that we were in college together, so I was the only one left in our college town because I was taking some summer school classes. So that was probably a very lonely time.
Rough. What are you proudest of?
You guys. Not that I take credit for your accomplishments, because I don't. Those are yours and yours own. But I just really love our family. I really enjoy spending time with you all. You all have Dad's fun sense of humor. I'm very serious at heart, and I don't really have a joking side. And yet, sitting at the table with the five of you and letting the five of you just be natural together, I'm pretty lucky to get to share in that.
What's your earliest memory?
Mm. So we moved into a new house when I was 6. I have memories of living in an in-between house, which would have been when I was 5. I have memories of walking to a King Soopers to get eclairs when I would have probably been 4 or 4.5. And as often is the case, like, the strongest memories from long, long ago are usually because there's something important about it. So you don't really remember, like, being pushed around in the grocery cart, because that happened every week for you, and it wasn't anything that was, like, big and remarkable. But I have 2 older sisters, and the fact that they took me with them on a sneaky trip to go off and get treats at the grocery store, that one sticks with me, because I knew we were doing something my mom wouldn't have been proud of or happy about, but I felt really good to be included on what my sisters were doing.
Do you eat eclairs now and feel, like, nostalgic?
No. I actually didn't like them then. I don't like that filling. It was Auntie Amy who loves that filling. But no, I do not enjoy eclairs.
What were you like as a child?
Precocious. Because of that age difference between my sisters, who are only, like, 5 and 6 years different, like, they're 5 and 6 years older than I am, I have a lot of the characteristics of a firstborn and also a lot of characteristics of a baby or the lastborn in the family. So I got away with a lot of stuff. My mom was very tired. My father was very tired. So my mom used to tell a story of, she could put up a wall, which was her idea of, like, setting a boundary or putting down a rule. And my sisters would try and crawl over it, around it, or under it, and I would just charge right through it. And that's probably very true.
Did you have a childhood nickname? And if so, why'd you get it?
So my dad called me Red in the Head because of my red hair, or Carrot Top. Those are his 2 names for me. My sister called me Lil Abner, which is a guy in a musical, and he's not the smartest thing that's ever come down the pike. But anyway, she used to call me Lil Abner. I think that's it. I think those are it for nicknames.
Did you think your life, what your life would be like when you were older? Like, what did you think your life would be?
I always knew I wanted to be a mom from a very young age. It's what I always wanted to be. And all of my games as, like, a little kid, all of my play and pretend always was around being a mom and having children. And I think I've told you the story before, but I would, like, get on my bike and pretend I had 10 kids and pretend, like, each neighbor's driveway was a different place to drop off one of my kids. So I would drop Susie off at ballet and pick up Jimmy from soccer and take Timmy to meet his tutor and then go back and pick up Susie from ballet and then take so-and-so to French. I don't know. It would entertain me for hours. So later in life, when I realized that dream of 4 kids in 4 different schools, and some of you were involved in 2 or 3 extracurricular activities at a time, it wasn't quite as exciting, but still very rewarding. In terms of some of the hardships Daddy and I have been through, I'm always thankful that there have been ups and downs. Because I think had we just skyrocketed to the top, we wouldn't have necessarily always appreciated what we had. And even when we hit bottom, I think those are a lot of life's lessons were imparted for you kids. Had we always had a life of comfort and culture, I don't know that you all would have learned our same work ethic or what it is to pick yourself up when you got knocked down.
What do you think is the most important value or characteristic to have in someone?
That's interesting. I don't know what the phrase is for it. it would be the notion of giving other people the benefit of the doubt. Maybe not being judgmental. I think being open to other people's experiences and stories, you just never really know what's going on for somebody, and you shouldn't assume. And there's way too much people assuming the worst in others.
I like it. If you could describe yourself in one word, what would it be and why?
Oh, one word to describe me. So when I was a little girl and we went on a trip to North Carolina, there was a boat that on the back of it was called tenacious. And I liked that word and looked it up, and it means just somebody who just doesn't quit. And even though it can have sort of a negative connotation as somebody who like bowls people over to get what they want, that's not me, but I just really don't quit. I don't give up. If I can't figure out how to do it one way, I'll try it another way. So.
How would you describe your perfect day?
On a beach, after a massage, maybe getting to play in the water a little bit. Yeah, just after a relaxing day of walking next to the water, sand between your toes, having a nice dinner with family. That would be my dream for today.
If you could talk to anyone, alive or dead, but not a celebrity, who would it be?
So I know this is going to strike you as odd because I'm an atheist. But I actually talk to my grandmother, my mother, and my father probably daily, who are all dead. But there's just so much that they shared with me and taught me, and there's so much that's going on now that I know that they're missing out. That there's a lot of communication with them.
If your parents had to see you do one thing in like one memory or one event, what would it be?
I don't think it's one thing, because I think my parents were really sort of like, what's the best of someone is also what's the worst of someone. And I just mean that, like, if you have someone who's, so take tenacity, if you have someone who's tenacious, that could also be someone who's stubborn. Someone who's stubborn could also be a good thing. They could be persistent. So it's not really like, I think my parents knew me best, but there were times where they would love a particular quality about me and at the same time see that same quality in a different outlet, and it would drive them crazy. That double-edged sword.
What was I like as a young child?
Oh my gosh, okay, you were precocious. So out of all of my children, I've always felt that you were the most like me, and that's what other people who've known both of us have described you as. So out of four kids, you were the only one who ever figured out how to escape from the crib. Because every kid wants to know how to get free from that crib. And you didn't, there's like nothing in there. There was not a stuffed animal for you to stand on. There was not crib bumpers. There was nothing. It was sheer willpower that made it so you scaled the edge of the crib and got yourself up and over it and down to the ground.
If you got to do everything again, would you raise me differently?
Absolutely not. Other than maybe, so this is like a parent's, parenting is the greatest scientific experiment because you really don't know the results of it. You don't really get the data for 20 years or 26 years. And I think each kid comes with a little bit of who they are already, and then a parent kind of shapes and molds and directs that. But there's certain things that are just in your nature that I think can't be changed. So if anything, over time, like if I were to look back at what I was like as a young mother versus what I would do differently as a grandmother, I think I would celebrate more what's in your nature and try not so much to shape you towards what were my expectations.
How'd you choose my nickname? That's all.
Hallie?
Yeah.
So everyone else had nicknames. Like Hazel had Belly. Harrison had Harry. Because these are big names to carry as a kid. Like, keep in mind that the most popular names when you guys were born, for a girl it was Kate, and for a boy it was Jack. So you have these very simple, easy to spell, easy to pronounce, easy to read names. They were current. They were incredibly popular. And then I had all of these, like, old names, like old-fashioned names, untraditional names, last names for first names. So I wanted to give you something that if you wanted sort of like a sweet, cute little girl name, you had that rather than having to carry this big personality name of Halston. And you, out of everybody, rejected your nickname from the get-go. I am not Hallie, I am Halston. Yeah, it never worked for you.
What were the hardest moments you had when I was growing up?
So you were a little candy thief.
I was. I knew how to scale the fridge. Heather and I would get up late.
Uh-huh. Sure. You would. And so I think that was what was hard was you would find the candy. And then we had this table in the house at 119 Cremaria. We had a table in the closet, and it had like this long, like to the floor tablecloth. And that was your hiding place. Was you and Henry would go, you'd get the candy, and then you'd go crawl underneath that table, and you'd eat the candy, but you two were little, like 4 or 5 years old. So you didn't even know how to, like, hide the evidence. So you would, like, I would come to vacuum, and I would lift the tablecloth to vacuum underneath without banging the table legs, and there would be this pile of candy wrappers. And it really didn't matter, like, how stern I was with you or how much I threatened you with, like, consequences for your behaviors. You just kept taking more candy, and you kept teaching your brother your naughty behavior. That was frustrating.
I love it.
Yep.
Oh, gosh, I lost my thought. If you had to be rich or poor, what would you be and why?
Poor.
Why?
I've been both. Neither brought me happiness. But poor just felt like I was living a more genuine life. You had a better connection with humanity.
If you could live anywhere in the world, where would it be?
Oh, I still love Denver. If I was younger and single, I'd have like a hip condo and like Rhino, like a little townhome or something. That would be fun.
If you were to live in any movie, what would it be?
Oh, that's a good one. Austin Powers.
I love it.
Just because he's so wackadoo. And they get to have adventures and solve mysteries. But still, like, if you were to ask me, like, any literary character I would want to be, it would be Miss Marple.
Why?
So, I don't know that you've ever read any of her books, but she's an old woman who lives in a little tiny house, not different from the house that you and I live in now with this great garden. And she's always out there puttering in the garden, so she sees everything that goes on in her little town. And she's a great observer of human nature. And in her opinion, human nature is the same everywhere. So once you know that, like, a certain type of little boy is always going to steal from the collection plate at church, it's not that different when you meet that same sort of personality and you realize, like, they're a thief too. And so that's how she solves all of her murders, in ways that none of us who ever read her books can figure it out. But she's like, oh yeah, they reminded me of so-and-so who put their finger in the hot, fresh baked pie. So.
On the murder note, are you scared about dying or do you think about it?
I do think about dying because I'm faced with it every day at work. I think that there are some people that aren't prepared, and then there are some people who are at peace with it. And I've been lucky that when I've seen all of my elders pass, they were all at peace and ready to go. I was also fortunate enough that we had a chance to say goodbyes to each other. And I think that's really important. I think that's why a traumatic death is a hard death, because it's sudden and you really didn't get a chance to say the things that you wanted to say to the person that you wanted to say. So when I think about my death, I don't imagine it happening anytime soon. But I feel like it'll be when I'm an old woman and I'm ready and I will have lived a full life. But if it were tomorrow, I'm okay with that too. It's been a beautiful ride.
All right. Do you have any last wishes?
There's so much that's uncertain for you kids in your future. Like, I know whatever will happen, Dad and I will be okay. Good or bad, we've gotten through it all. So I know we're resilient that way. It's hard to watch your kids get knocked down, but that is part of what makes us who we are. And like I said earlier, some of those times in my life I'm incredibly thankful for. So I'd like to see you get hurt, but just a little bit, not too much, and have lots of joy.
If you were to give any last advice to Dad, if you were to pass away soon, what would it be?
So Daddy and I have talked about that, because the hardest thing is if we lost one of you kids, we'd help each other get through it. But I don't know how we're going to make it when we lose one another. And we talk about what we would be like. So Dad talks about becoming a hermit, just moving to the mountains and not talking to anybody for a long time. Which he would do if he didn't have responsibility for all of you. So if that happens when you're older, just check in on him every once in a while and bring him
go
some banana
bread.
Yeah, exactly. But no, I think Dad and I were really blessed that we found each other and we've had such a great love.
How do you want to be remembered?
Oh, wow. Genuinely and authentically, good, bad, warts and all. I think so many people want to be remembered for a great thing here or a great thing there, but I don't think that's realistic.
Moving on to work.
Yes.
What did you think you were going to be when you grew up? Like, I know you wanted to be a mom, but was there something else?
No, that's all I thought I was going to be. In college, for a brief period of time, I thought I would go to med school, but quickly got talked out of that. For a couple of years, I thought I'd go either become a psychiatrist or a psychologist, because I really enjoyed that. But my mentor died my junior year. Late in my junior year, so I had to finish my senior year, or maybe it was early in my senior year. Anyway, I had to finish that year with another professor. And when that sort of motivating force in my life had gone away, I was sort of at a loss. So when I graduated college, I got a job, first of all, as a really hip librarian, and you know I'm kidding about that because your mother's never been hip in her life. And
hey, ma'am, I was a hip librarian at the library in fourth grade. I would stock books, so.
There you go. That's where you and I, again, have another similarity. So I thought, I don't know, I just was kind of like wanting to have kids, but as much as I love you all, from the time that I had you, I just felt like there was more that I had to contribute. So I did a lot of volunteer work, which I found rewarding and enjoyable until it wasn't. just because of the society that we were hanging out in. Dad and I hung out with a lot of rich social life, and that wasn't me either, so I didn't really enjoy that anymore. But at any rate, and then I enjoyed working for Dad, and then that kind of led to one thing or another, becoming a bookkeeper for some other people, and then realizing that that wasn't really a career, but something I could do here and there. And so then I wanted to have a career, but I couldn't say like I always wanted to be one thing other than I wanted to be happily married and a mom.
What lessons has your work life taught you?
Never to assume. I'm always wrong. Whenever I think I know why someone's behaving the way they're behaving or that they're thinking what they're thinking, it's just better to ask and have an honest conversation. My job's a little bit unique in that you interact with people on the worst day of their life. And it's interesting to see where some families pull together and have strength. Some have humor. Some have anger. Some have misery. Almost all have sadness. But I feel very lucky to be part of that, that I'm there for those families on those days. And hopefully I bring them a little bit of peace and hope.
If you could do anything now for a job, what would you do?
What I do?
Okay.
Yeah. I have my dream job.
Good. Do you plan on retiring? If so, when?
I don't think so. I think Dad and I would become total alcoholics if we didn't have work. I do. I think, like, when we were talking about that beach scene earlier, like, what's your perfect day? Part of that perfect day of being on the beach would be drinking daiquiris, and you can't do that all day, every day, and be functioning. So I don't think Dad and I ever plan to retire. I think we plan to work until our bodies give out, which will happen, as we've seen with Grandma and Grandpa. You just get kind of old and slow and sore and have health problems. In which case, then I think we'll just travel around and see all you guys. But yeah, no plans to retire. It's kind of weird, though, because if you think about it, I'm pretty old now. I take care of patients that are younger than me now. I take care of some patients that are older than me. But I will start to take care of more and more patients that I am older than. And that's kind of a trippy thing. But similar to my grandmother. I had a grandmother that took care of old folks in an old folks home when she was an old folk. So she was in her 70s taking care of people in their 50s.
I just see the little kid, the little bully from Simpson as a nurse. And she's like, ha ha, I lived you. Never mind, that was do you have any favorite stories from your work life? And please remember my teacher will listen to it.
Don't be too gross, Mom. So when we were talking earlier about different being part of different families and watching them on their worst day, there was a gentleman who was a police officer who had a massive coronary arc. So his heart attack was so bad that basically he lost all function of his left ventricle. And his wife, by his bedside, just never gave up hope, just continued to say positive things to him. And when their kids came to visit, their children were just as beautiful and inspired. And he ended up getting a heart transplant, and I've seen him a couple of times since. But I think that was just an example where everything worked out the way it should for somebody who was so deserving. They were blessed and very, very thankful.
Nice. If you could have one question answered, what would it be?
So many questions about the afterlife.
Oh, man.
I really do. Like, I know that there's times where I think, like, this is it. But I don't know. I am around death a lot, so I wonder, like, what is dying like? Does it hurt? Like, we don't remember what birth was like, but when you watch birth happen, it's pretty stressful for a baby. But you don't remember it. So I just wonder about death and if there is something after. I hope there's something after. I hope, like, even though I don't believe in it, I hope that there's a place that we get to be together if we want to be.
If you were to be reincarnated into any item or, like, material or something, what would it be?
Oh. So my first answer was a man because it's so much easier for them. I know that's not quite right. And that's not fair or true. My second answer would be a dragonfly. Because they just get to fly around for a day and bring joy wherever they go. And they only live like 2 or 3 days, I think. So it would be short but sweet.
That's great. Oh gosh. Okay. What traditions have been passed down in your family?
Oh, what traditions? Let's see. So my Catholic mother, who didn't celebrate her Catholicism, who sort of found like a New Age Shirley MacLaine kind of life, belief in life and reincarnation idea, always served rugula, which is a Jewish pastry on Christmas, which I still try and find every Christmas because I like rugula. So that's one. Daddy, as you know, is 100% Polish. So one year we had just had like a lousy, lousy year. Like a lot of things had gone wrong. And so we decided we would start the year over on July 1st. And so we decided we would call that Polish New Year because July 1st isn't even 6 months. Like, it just doesn't make any sense. So, and then we decided the thing that we would serve on Polish New Year was pickles. So, we pickles on Polish New Year.
Is there like a fun family inside joke that you remember?
Between all of us? Or between my sisters? No.
Doesn't matter.
Family inside joke. I don't know. It seems like they kind of come and go. Like with fads and things. I can't think what our current one is. But like Running Man was one for a while. We all would start doing the Running Man or... No, I can't think of an inside. Like, Dad and I have secret signals to say I love you. But I can't think of an inside joke.
Alrighty. When did you first find out that you'd be a parent? How did you feel? So when you were first going to have Hazel.
So actually, Hazel was not the first time. Before Hazel, Dad and I were pregnant, and I was completely ambivalent and kind of scared because we really weren't ready and I hadn't planned. And you know me, I'm a big time planner. So I was really nervous about everything. So for me, I know this sounds harsh and cold, but luckily I miscarried that baby and then got pregnant with Hazel. And I was really excited.
How has being a parent changed you?
There's so many things as a child you say, I will never do when I'm a parent. And I think if anything, it's given me appreciation for what my parents went through and the things that they tried to do and the things that they did well. And then realistically, the things like Dad and I tried to do and the things that we did well, but also the things we didn't do well.
Do you have any favorite stories about your children? It could be any of us.
So now I love it because you all come up and ask for hugs. And that's really sweet because you guys are teenagers and kind of in some ways like a little bit beyond the hug age that you would think. But even like last week when I'd had like the worst day at work, I walked in the door and you could tell I'd totally been crying. And the first thing you did was walk over and scoop me up. And I like that. I mean, it was fun when you all were little and there was six of us in a big king bed and we'd all be like scrambling around, and but that was different. That was the way it should have been when we were little, like all piled in a bed together. So I think it's nice that we all still give each other hugs.
Is there a house that you've lived in the past that you would have wished to live in forever?
No, because we've lived in, 30 of them now, and that's been really fun and exciting. And I love different things about each of them. There's things I love about this house. And had I stayed in one of those other ones, I wouldn't have gotten to live in this house. But the one that was probably the closest to what Dad and I would have dreamed and designed for us was 435, where it had secret rooms and secret passageways and
big fire upstairs.
And, you know, dome skylight.
My favorite house too.
We picked a lot of thought went into all of our houses and all the finishes that we picked and choices, but that one was sort of one that I think Dad and I dreamed about. That was probably the one that I dreamed about the most. The one that Daddy probably dreamed about the most was 119 Cremaria. For him, that was like his bowler house.
What are you proudest of? Oh, I think you already asked.
I think I said you guys.
Yep.
Our family.
That happened.
Oh, yeah. That's okay.
Okay. If you could change one thing in the world, what would it be?
Tolerance. I just think that there's so many people who think that they know what's best without ever trying to appreciate someone else's perspective or point of view. And I think travel helps with that a lot. I think being curious and learning helps with that a lot. I think interacting with lots of different types of people helps with that a lot. And that's part of why we made a conscious effort to send you and your siblings to the schools we've chosen to send you all to. And your school in particular, of all of them, teaches you different people's perspectives, different cultural practices, how to appreciate our differences. So,
if you could live in anyone else's life, who would you live in?
Miss Marples. I know, she's
anyone living?
Anyone living? No, I like my life. I think I've got it good. There's no one else I'd really. And I think, because I think the notion of that is that someone else has got it better than you. And again, it's that assumption that you're making. We all have our own burdens to carry. Yeah.
All righty. I think that's it.
Nice. This is fun. Thanks.